News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. Phil Williams here hosting Right Side Radio. Like we always say, solid conservative, just plain right. Plenty more to talk about. We're going to spend some time on Afghanistan today, and then I'm going to hopefully get a chance to jump over into some other stories that are breaking around the nation, some of which involve our state on a national level even. We are going to spend some time. I do want to tell you, going to have a special guest today at 4 o'clock, if all goes the way it's planned. 4 o'clock, Mike Durant, who is a hero, somebody who I've admired from afar for many years. Some of y'all may know the name right away when I say it, but for those who don't, Michael Durant was a pretty legendary Army aviator. He flew with Task Force 160, or excuse me, the 160th Special Operation Regiment, the Nighthawks. They were the ones who were flying in the infamous Battle of Mogadishu, Black Hawk Down, and Mike Durant was one of those pilots who was shot down. And even after being rescued after almost 2 weeks held captive, he continued to serve for a number of years thereafter. Highly decorated, and we look forward to having him on the show at 4 o'clock, the 4 o'clock hour. And Mike's going to talk about his experiences with what it means to see troops on the ground not receive the support they need, but also talk to the issues of leadership and what he's seeing right now. I don't even know his perspective entirely. He may have a different view than me, but we're going to take it and see where it goes. So Mike Durant's coming on at 4 p.m. Copper, did you have a caller a minute ago? I thought I saw something coming through on that. What was that?
Yeah, he didn't want to come on air, but he wanted to share how much he's grateful for you encouraging the audience and just reminding us to be hopeful. And he said that yesterday was a really rough day, and just this whole situation in general was really bothering him, but that it made all the difference you reminding us to stay hopeful.
Well, that's cool and great. Well, I that's good, and I'm glad to hear it, and I'm humbled by that. I tell you what, it's an honor to have this platform. I don't know who the you said it was a man, a woman that called in. Who was that?
A man, yes.
Well, sir, wherever you are, thank you, and I couldn't do it without y'all. But it is an honor to have this platform. I got a sign right here above me. I'm reaching up and I'll slap it right now. It's an honor to have this platform, and that is, by the way, that is one of the purposes of this. You know, I say all the time, the purpose of this show is to be solid conservative, just plain right. That's our mantra. But it's the purpose is to empower and to entertain and to enlighten and basically to make sure that at the end of the day, you know that there is a reason for continuing on the mission. All right. Continuing the mission. That's so important. And I tell you what, I'm glad to hear it. That's good. I had to tell myself that stuff, though, too, sometimes, because yesterday sucked, I'll be honest. But today's a new day, and, President Biden is still President Biden, and I don't know how long that'll last. Sometimes I feel like it couldn't last another day, and the other times I'm thinking we may have to ride the whole four-year term out. But in any event, I'm going to keep working within the constraints of whatever I've been given and doing the best I can, and I know this audience will do the same. Well, listen, there's a lot of stuff happening. By the way, Copper, did you see right before we went on the air, literally breaking news, right before we went on the air, the news story out of the Wall Street Journal about President Biden being shot down in a helicopter in Afghanistan? Did you see that?
No.
Okay, you probably didn't get a chance to, because literally you were working the board and getting the audio clips ready for today. But the story out of the Wall Street Journal, I do not remember this story, but apparently then Senator Biden in 2008, along with then Senator John Kerry, and one other who I think was Chuck Hagel, they literally were on what's called a CODEL, a congressional delegation trip to Afghanistan, and their helicopter, if I said shot down, I apologize. I think they went down in a massive snowstorm, probably in the Hindu Kush Mountains. Now, by the way, at one point, I was one of the only Americans to traverse the entire country of Afghanistan by land, all the way from the south, Bagram, Kabul area, through the Hindu Kush Mountains, up through the Selang Pass Tunnel, which is one of the highest tunnels in the world, and into North Afghanistan. I mean, it was high adventure, y'all. It was like National Geographic should have been on my tail, because we were seeing some territory and going to places that I felt like no man had ever seen before. And crazy stories. Maybe today, if we have some time, I'll brighten the mood by telling you some crazy stories about Afghanistan, funny ones. In fact, I'll tell you what, Copper, remind me later on to tell you a funny story about the Afghan National Airport, which is now Hamid Karzai.
The one
we've been seeing on the news. Nonetheless, apparently in this Kodel, this trip, Biden and his crew, their helicopter in the Hindu Kush Mountains, which I know to be so high that helicopters can't even fly over it during certain times of day because the air is so thin, their helicopter went down in a snowstorm, and they had to be rescued. I did not recall this at all. Yeah, but here's the piece of the story that the Wall Street Journal is now reporting. An interpreter who jumped on the mission to go and help rescue now President Biden is trapped in Afghanistan, and he's made a personal appeal to the president to help him get out, and he's not out. And by the way, as we approach the 2:30 break, I'll tell you right now, President Biden just took the podium literally in the last 2 seconds and is addressing the nation about 30 hours after the troops pulled out. And we'll see how that goes. I'll bring you breaking news from that. But yeah, copper. So apparently Joe Biden, the interpreter who helped save him, is now asking to be saved. And I don't hold out a lot of hope that he's going to get the relief he wants from the man who he helped save years ago.
Brutal.
I know. I mean, you can't make this crap
That's
up.
That's shameless. Oh my goodness.
It's shameless, but it's also, what deep irony. What deep irony.
Yeah.
That the president, who seems to almost have a callous indifference to getting people out, and I say that knowing full well, some credit where credit's due, that thousands, tens of thousands, did make it out over the last 2 weeks, but it was a crisis of our own making, and we know for a fact that Americans have been left behind. But right now, we're finding out that the interpreter who helped rescue the now president, who has denied the opportunity for everyone to be rescued, is asking to be rescued because he's the one who helped save the president. That's just crazy. You couldn't write a movie script like that. All right, folks. That's the world in which we're living right now. Wow. All right. Phil Williams, News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. Hey, you can also listen live online. Go to rightsideradio.org, and you'll check it out. Wherever you are, we are. Phil Williams, we'll be right back. Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. Phil Williams here, Right Side Radio. Copper running the board. We are here for you Monday through Friday, 2 to 5 p.m. You know, I said it earlier, and I'll say it again. If you struggle with reaching our signal as you're driving out of the otherwise broad range of WVNN's AM, FM capability, just know that you can go to rightsideradio.org, click Listen Live, and wherever you is, there we is. So it doesn't matter. You can listen to us wherever you are. I've got folks all over the place, all over this state, other states, multiple states. We got Texas. We got Florida. We got Virginia. We got Indiana. We got, what else? We got Tennessee. We got Mississippi, Louisiana. Anyway, great audience, broad spectrum. Just know that you can hear us no matter where you are. So, yeah, so President Biden's at the podium right now, and I did listen to it during the break. Of course, I've got to jump back on the air, so I can't just leave it on, but I'm not sure you wanted to hear it anyway. It's not an impressive speech, and he's not an impressive speaker. And he's doing one of those angry old man shouting at the microphone speaks. It's one of those things like, back when he's telling you what he did to Corn Pop, you know, Corn Pop came at me, and I had said, man. So anyway, that's the speech he's giving right now. He just did say, though, and it just shocks me, he did say he was committed to the August 31st deadline, even though he knew there were some Americans that had not been gotten out. I do not understand that at all. Don't understand it one bit. I don't know yet. He hasn't, during the time I was listening, he has yet to acknowledge our Afghan allies, and I don't think he's going to take a second to move away from his teleprompter preparations to talk about the interpreter who helped rescue him. But anyway, that's where we are. But hey, listen, I got to tell you, interesting things are happening right now. So even last night and this morning, and literally, what time is it? 2:37. My last text with the group was 9 minutes ago. There are still people right now that are trying desperately to do all they can to help our allies and any other Americans get out. They were communicating back and forth last night, but it wasn't able to sync up with the folks that I've been working with that are still stuck. If you remember, I've got the copies of the passports on my phone of five Americans. It's a young mother and four children who were stuck in Kabul and could not get out, even though they went to the gate multiple times and sat there by the south gate of the Hamid Karzai International Airport for hours. They weren't allowed out by the Taliban, or into the gate by the Taliban. And then I've also got, of course, my interpreter, Hamid. His immediate family, his parents, his sister, and her husband are trapped in Kabul. Well, listen, so right now what's happening is there are private groups that are doing amazing things. You know, former military, special operations guys, some of them, are doing all that they can, working the networks, and they're hearing things on the ground. And what's crazy is, like, Hamid sent me a text last night, and he said the Taliban is, he said celebratory gunfire can be heard all over Kabul tonight as they celebrate. And that's so common in that part of the world. There are so many, you know, weapons that they'll just shoot them up in the air. Like, they don't care where they're going to land. They just shoot them up in the air because, oh, by the way, a bullet that goes up has to come down. I can tell you about that in Baghdad. Literally, as celebratory gunfire was going crazy one night, just all of a sudden you hear them say, shoo, boom, 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 and bullets are landing around my feet. And we had to get inside real quick. But they're sending me texts right now. Here's an update on what it's like. And I can't tell you where. I don't want to disclose anything for operational security. But they're saying that literally they've made coordinations. They have a flight potential. It's in another part of the country. And they're saying, here's one quote, our people are gradually making their way there. I'm not going to say where. We are making arrangements for them, yada, yada. Either way, they will have to deal with the threat of the Taliban possibly messing with them until the plane arrives. You know, and some of the others acknowledge that. And then one of them says, they have erased their phones of all foreign numbers, text messages and call records, etc., in case they get stopped by the Taliban because they search their phones. In other words, they can't contact them. They're in God's hands now, is what one of them says. And then one of the others replied back, cell service is gradually going down because somebody else had texted earlier, the Taliban are beginning to destroy cell phone towers to try and stop outside communications. So we're beginning to lose communications with some of our friends there. So folks, if you think about it, how often do you ever hear of somebody making a phone call to someone in North Korea? You don't. It's called the Hermit Kingdom. And there was a time when Afghanistan was much the same. It was a part of the world that was like if you turned on some kind of a switch, and from space you could look down and look at the world and you could see all of the active networks, you would have seen a dark hole, and that would have been Afghanistan. And what the Taliban is potentially going to do is create that dark hole of technology again, not so that we can't see in as much as so that people can't talk out. If you remember things like the Berlin Wall, it wasn't there to keep people out. It was there to keep East Berliners in. And things like the DMZ at North Korea, it's not there to keep South Koreans out. It's there to keep North Koreans in. And that's what we're going to see right now. The technology being taken down in Afghanistan is designed not to keep from people speaking in so much as it is to keep people inside from knowing what's happening outside of their boundaries and being able to communicate out. That's where we are. But these people that are doing great things, God bless them. You got groups like the Pineapple Express and others right now that are trying. Now, I'm gonna give you some caution. Tell you what, let's do this first. Let me play a clip. Lara Logan, again, I keep finding clips of her because she's so active on this topic. But Copper, let's go ahead and affirm what I've been saying with clip 12. Go ahead and play clip 12.
The special operations community is reeling. Sean, I know that you speak to a lot of these guys as well. I know Colonel North does too. Dan Crenshaw, you do as well. There are literally like entire battalions strength in numbers of Americans who are flying into Afghanistan to rescue people.
They've
who are going
amazing.
Into the region, who are risking yeah. everything. It is like people are just, they're not even thinking about anything else except that they know that this is wrong. And the worst part is to see that general, how dare he, how dare these people in the administration stand there and pretend that this absolute Armageddon isn't happening.
Any
So what she's saying is true. There are people that are working right now. I know of guys. I was talking to one who until just the other day, but he, even his companions are still there in I won't say where, but they're in the theater. They're not in Afghanistan. They're in the theater working the arrangements, trying to get people out. I know there are people right now that are speaking in and finding their former interpreters and helping through them to coordinate for the rental of buses and airplanes and do the things necessary to get people out. They're working on land bridge opportunities and the opportunity to see people, you know, at least make it across a border. And believe it or not, some of them are trying to make it into Iran because it's better for them to go to Iran than it is for them to stay in Afghanistan. Some are trying to make it into China, of all places. And then you've got, you know, of course, the northern tribal regions of Pakistan, one of the sites that many of them are going to. Why would you want to go to Pakistan where the Taliban have come from? Well, because your life may actually be better there, they think. And then, of course, up in the northern regions, one of the issues you have of getting across the northern border is this great vast river called the Amu Darya. The Amu Darya was on the northern border of my sector, my area of operations when I was there. It was considered the... We used to run our E&E routes, our evacuation, our escape and evacuation routes, occasionally just to validate them to make sure they were still good. And we, of course, air was always our first choice. But if air wasn't available, which where we were, air wasn't always available, then we had to make sure we had a land bridge opportunity. Well, we had a place we called the Alamo, and it was a little hut on the border of Tajikistan on the Amu Darya River, just north of Kunduz province, and that was called the Alamo. And we were going to hunker down there until we could get across that river. But that river is about 500 yards wide, and it looks like the Mississippi. But I'm just telling you, it ain't easy to get out. And getting out by land is going to be probably one of the tougher options. Folks, there's a lot going on. Let me encourage you, though, in one thing. I want you to hear me on this. I've got people right now saying, hey, Phil, who can I send money to? How can I support? I'm not going to be able to go over there and do anything. I don't know anybody. But if I can help support somebody's cause, I'll do it. There are some good causes doing that, but I want to encourage you and also caution you, all right? There are some charlatans out there right now. So if you find an organization you want to support that you think is doing good things, I encourage you, number one, do your research on who they are. Make sure they're not a fly-by-night. Even talk with your own attorney before you start sending money to someone. You would be amazed at the people that took advantage of the pandemic and set up the most awesome-looking infrastructure to raid people's finances on the premise of supplying PPE and other things like that to hospitals. I'm just telling you. I know of one organization that I really like. You can find them. It's a Special Operations Association of America. That's SOAA.org. They're doing things, and they are a respectable organization. I know the Pineapple Express guys, the thing we got to watch with them is that other people are copying their name. So I am trying to track down how best to support them financially. But I'm just telling you, there's some good things happening, and you've got to find the right one. I think we heard the other day the Nazarene Project, which I'm not as familiar with, but that was a Glenn Beck-sponsored opportunity. And I don't know if the fact that we pulled out has changed things for them. But do not get yourself caught up in sending money to a fly-by-night organization. If they tell you they want you to, make a payment, but they don't even have a website, or if they give you wiring instructions, but they tell you that they'll pull it from your account, no. I would not let yourself get caught up in that. Look for some bona fides. Try to find an organization that appears to have a track record. Try to find an organization that has references. If someone approaches you on the phone and asks for your credit card solicitation, don't do it. I'm just telling you, these scams exist, and they are legit. Legitimately bad, how about that? You want to find the ones that have a proven record of success and longevity, and they can provide you with true wiring instructions, and let your attorney help you with that. Your attorney very often can wire and put money in trust for you, and hold it there until it's decided when to send it. I'm just saying, don't get caught in a trap. All right, folks, despite good things going on, we still got to take a break, so we're moving towards a short break right now. We come back. I may tell you a crazy story about my own time at Hamid Karzai International Airport. It was high adventure. We might need a laugh. Maybe I'll tell that story when we come back. Phil Williams, News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. We'll be right back. News Talk 770 AM 92.5 FM WVNN. Phil Williams here hosting Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. Hey, listen, all right, so Copper, I told you I had a story about
yes.
Yeah. Crazy. So my deployment was, well, it was crazy. It was like something out of a movie. So I was there, like I said before in the beginning, and lived in among the Afghan people for the better part of 2002. Rode horses, had a beard, ate Afghan food, got dysentery, lost 30 pounds. I mean, it was unbelievable. But and the crazy thing was, in order to get back to my headquarters in Kabul, there was no easy way. Like I said, there was literally hardly any opportunity for air assets to come north to where I was. We got our resupplies dropped into us by parachute drop. And then later on, they would use an old Soviet airstrip and land in the dark of night and kick the pallets out. But all that to say, if we wanted to get back, every once in a while, there were these, they call them NGOs, non-governmental organizations. Things like Samaritan's Purse and the UN had workers out there. So the UN, chartered these like ex-pilots, ex-military pilots to fly these little puddle jumper flights. And they would have these twin prop, like 12-seat planes. And they would fly around, and periodically you could hop a flight. Well, they wouldn't pick up military guys. Well, all I ever wore was civilian clothes over there. I mean, I was in civilian clothes with a beard. So, you know, beard, baseball cap, and an M16. But nonetheless, so we would wear civilian clothes, go out to the airstrip, you know, and these military pilots, these ex-military guys, they loved us. So we would slip them a 20, maybe give them a few MREs, shake hands, and then they let us on the plane. And I'd fly to Kabul, posing as a civilian aid worker. And it's just part of my life. But of course, everything that I'm carrying with me in my pack was pretty, you know, it wasn't the kind of thing that aid workers carried around. Well, then I had to fly through Kabul, which is Hamid Karzai International Airport now. Met Steve Harrigan from Fox News there one time. But I'm literally coming back one time, and the guys from the Kabul headquarters, they dropped me off like I was in Birmingham International Airport or something, you know. They just dropped me off. I'm like, geez, dude, you just drove away? But here I am by myself. Well, I got one guy with me. And I go inside, and I've got my, we call it my go bag, on my shoulder. And I am fully loaded. They can't tell when I'm walking around, but I'm toting some stuff with me. And I look over, and I have never seen this before, but now they have an actual security point that I have to go through. I'm like, wait a minute. Where did that come from? So I'm looking at it, I'm thinking, this is really not good. I mean, I'm toting some firearms. I've got stuff in my bag. So I go up to the the magnetometer, the thing you have to walk through, that's the metal detector basically. And then there's also a conveyor belt with an X-ray machine. I'm thinking, I didn't know they even have X-ray machines in Afghanistan, daggummit. They don't even have running water in most places. But I go up there and I'm looking at it, I'm thinking, what am I gonna do, man? So I had my 9mm pistol in my tucked in my belt behind my back. So I pulled it out real quick and I slipped it inside my bag. And I also had two loaded clips on my belt that I couldn't get out quick enough for them to see me. I was also carrying three knives. And then in the side pocket of my bag, I had a smoke grenade and a number of other things that were probably contraband on an airplane. I thought, what do I do? Okay, well, I just turned the bag upside down so most of the military hardware was furthest away from the top scan radar or X-ray. And I just slid it on through there. And then I reached over, I walked over, and I just stepped through the metal detector. And it didn't go off. And I thought, what? And I looked over. I mean, I'm carrying two 9mm clips on my belt behind my vest and three knives. And I look over, and it's not plugged in. I'm like, holy crap, it's not plugged in. I thought, okay, point number one, I made it through that. I look over, and there's my bag, and it's going through, and there's this big, you can't, there's this big black spot you can't see through. And the guy's looking at it funny, and it dawned on me, I've got what's called a VS-17 panel that you use to signal planes with. I've got it in there. Well, it's got reflective material on it, and it is reflecting back the X-ray, and the X-ray can't see through. They can't see my pistol. They can't see the other stuff that I've got in there. I'm like, oh, Lord, this is going to work. And then all of a sudden, he sees I have the smoke grenade in a side pocket, and it's in a cardboard sleeve tube, and he goes, with broken English, the guy goes, oh, what's this? And I look at him, I go, no problem. And I said a few things in Dari. I said, no problem, no problem. And he's looking at me funny. And I said, smoke, smoke. And I don't know what the word for a smoke is in Dari. So I just made a symbol like I'm smoking a cigarette. I went, smoke, smoke. And he just starts laughing. He goes, oh, no problem. And it dawned on me, I think he thought I had a big pack of cigars in there. And he just picks up my bag and hands it to me, and I walked away and got on the plane. And I was carrying a pistol, a fully loaded pistol, two extra clips of ammo, three knives, a smoke grenade, and I don't know what else was in that bag, but I got on the plane. So there's my story at Hamid Karzai International Airport.
Just wasn't plugged in.
Do what?
It just wasn't plugged in.
It wasn't plugged in. I mean, what do you do? I mean, I can't help the guy. He doesn't know what he's doing. He's like, people walk through that big thing. I don't know why, but they walk through that big thing. Okay, it's not plugged in. Helps me. So anyway, so yeah, I walked through there fully loaded and head towards my plane, and there's Steve Harrigan from Fox News. And I said, hey, American, what are you doing? He goes, hey, who are you? And we just talked for a while, and I've still got his card somewhere. But anyway, yeah, it's a crazy country. It was a surreal deployment. And the entire year was like that. I could probably tell more stories, but we don't have all that day. But listen, folks, we're going to come back after the top of the hour. I'm going to see if I've got anything out of this Biden press conference. General Jack Keane speaking now. I will tell you this. President Biden spoke for a few minutes. Of course, he talked about his own son serving in Afghanistan and then dying of cancer. And now General Jack Keane is on. The president turned around and walked away from the podium without taking questions once again. All right, folks, News Talk 770 AM 92.5 FM WVNN. We will be right back.